We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
The culture wars in this country are a clash of ideologies or beliefs. But sometimes, maybe even more often today, those emotional differences result in threats of violence or violence itself. In a day that will be long remembered, the city of Lancaster was the center of the culture war Saturday. The Drag Queen Story Hour event was scheduled for the Lancaster Public Library Saturday morning. As part of the event, Christopher Pellolino, dressed in his drag costume, was to perform and recite stories geared toward children. Instead, the event was canceled after a suspicious package was found and bomb threats were emailed that references the library, the home addresses of the library's executive director, the president of Lancaster Pride, and LMP journalist Dan Neefen. Neefen reported on the events all day Saturday and then became part of the story. Dan Neefen joins us on The Spark today to describe what happened. Dan Neefen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing? I mean, journalists don't often like to become part of the story, but how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling okay. It was a crazy, crazy weekend. And no, we are not supposed to be part of the story. We are supposed to report about events and other people. So it was very disconcerting to be balancing both. I am the subject of a threat, and also I've got a report on the threat and whatever else is going on this past Saturday.
So how did you find out that you were mentioned in that email?
I got a call from the mayor. Now, that email had come to me. I just did not happen to see it yet. I was, you know, running around reporting. I had just finished up a Facebook Live about the event being canceled. I really thought that, you know, we were just going to wrap up and the day was going to end up being a shorter day. We had a bunch of people in here prepared just in case. And we had a reporter downstairs talking to people, and our reporter Ann Rerat messaged up. We were all on Teams, messaged up that the library executive director was leaving. They had been talking outside of Starbucks that the library executive director was leaving, and you know, had to get her son, or her husband was getting him and his son, or their son, out of the house. So I went down to see what that was about. By the time I got down, everybody was gone. Police officer was clearing Starbucks. So I messaged my boss and he's like, all right, come back upstairs. Our office, by the way, happens to be on the same block as the Lancaster Public Library. So I come upstairs, I'm walking back to my desk, and the mayor of the city of Lancaster, Denise Sirachi, calls me and says something to the effect that there's a, I don't know if she said bomb threat, but that my house address was specifically mentioned in this threat that they were taking as credible. This was somewhat after 12. I've got it down here. And I said words that I'm not going to. Yeah, she called me at 12:27, I think, by my phone. And I reacted with some words that I'm not going to be able to say on the radio. And I knew I had to call home, let my partner know that something was up and she had to get the heck out of the house. But I'm also thinking, and asked Denise, I'm like, okay, can I get a comment from you? Because I knew we had to, you know, say this. She also said that, you know, there was an evacuation, you know, that there had been, you know, bomb threats elsewhere. So I was on the phone with her for about a minute. I hung up, frantically told Kathleen to get out of the house, again, using words I can't use here, but you can imagine what they are. And she you know, asked where to go. I said, I can't tell you, just like, I don't know, just get the hell out of there. I went over to my desk, and then I saw in my email, the email that we've shared virtually everything about it, except by redacting addresses and saying expletive instead of the words that were used. So I forwarded that to my bosses. Then we realized that we were also, you know, mentioned that there was a bomb here. So we had to evacuate and relocate. We had probably a little over a dozen of our staff and reporters working this event. Photographer, you know, we just didn't know what to expect. There had been a lot of calls for protests and whatnot. So we had to scramble and relocate to continue to do our job. At that point that we left, and we were out of here in probably less than 5 minutes. You know, there's probably maybe eight of us in the office and other people outside, but we skedaddled and were able to set up shop at a Southern Market, an event space there.
Why do you think you were targeted?
Me specifically?
Yeah.
That I don't know, because I was not somebody who was covering this event. I wrote one story, and this had been going on for a while. It's probably an event like we normally wouldn't cover random events at the library, but this became politicized. Some county commissioners were critical of it and called on people to urge the library to drop the event. I was not part of any of that reporting over the past several weeks. What I was asked to do for Friday afternoon online and into Saturday's paper, what efforts are the police taking? What efforts are the city taking, the library taking, the event organizers taking as far as security measures? That's what I was asked to do. So I wrote a story that was online Friday afternoon and then in the paper Saturday morning. I did do a Facebook Live, as I mentioned, saying, you know, the event was canceled. Here's what we know. Here's, you know, why it was canceled. You know, stay tuned to LNP Lancaster Online for further updates. That was my involvement in it. I don't think that I'm any more well known here than any of my other reporter colleagues. So it is somewhat of a mystery, but maybe being on Facebook Live.
Well, yeah, normally police, law enforcement, crime, that's your normal beat, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's provide some background for those who may not be familiar with the story. What prompted this was the Drag Queen Story Hour scheduled for the Lancaster Public Library. What did that show entail? Was it for children?
Yes, it was for children. It was a drag queen who would be reading books. I don't know all the names of the books, but, you know, about inclusivity, you know, just a reading, you know, a reading event for children.
So as you touched on earlier, Lancaster County Commissioners Josh Parsons and Ray DiAugustino criticized the event at meetings and on social media leading up to Saturday. What were their criticisms?
That this was not the kind of thing that the library should be hosting. It was not an event. It wasn't for children. It wasn't what the library should be hosting. And my colleague Tom Lisi was the main reporter on that.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, this was a drag queen, a man dressed in drag, not someone who identifies as transgender, correct?
Correct. I don't know what they identify as. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just a person who performs in drag.
So did the criticisms from the commissioners, did that bring more attention to the event?
It increased the number of people who were wanting to go to this, so much so that the library was prepared to do a second reading, and they were also going to live stream this event. So, yeah, what the organizers and library told us was this: basically, the controversy basically increased awareness and interest in this event. period.
So how many people were scheduled or RSVP'd to attend?
I'm going off my memory here. I think it was 275 had signed up for the first reading, and then there were another 270-something people who signed up on essentially a waiting list. The library director did tell me, she's like, who knows how many of those people are actually interested in it, suggesting that like maybe some people were trying to like clog it and then wouldn't show up. But as a result of that, they decided to, you know, host a second story hour if there was interest.
There were protests scheduled as a result of this. There was actually a prayer vigil Friday night outside the library that called out the event as well. I saw some coverage of that Friday night, and that was, I don't know, that's not something we normally see in this region. Around the country, there's Westboro Baptist Church that is pretty graphic with the way they describe those who are identify as gay or transgender. So did you cover any of the event Friday night, or what can you tell us about that?
No, I didn't cover it. Another colleague, Jackson White, covered that. My understanding of that, and frankly, I didn't get to read that article. I scanned it, and I knew it was, you know, some religious people believing this was not an appropriate event, and they were praying for essentially divine intervention to have it canceled. But I don't think that they were calling for, you know, violence or anything like that. They seem to be, you know, Bible, you know, based, scripture based. They were just opposing it because that is what they believe. Why you know, they decided to do it Friday night instead of Saturday, I don't know. It was, you know, rainy day Saturday, and I figured with the weather that, you know, these planned protests were just going to fizzle out. A person with the Moms for Liberty group had a permit for across the street from where the library was in Binns Park at the County Government Center, and rescinded that, turned it back in. I don't know why she turned it back in, but, you know, so the prayer group seemed to be maybe in replacement to that. I don't know, or maybe it was, you know, separate. But point being, you know, we knew that this group who was planned to oppose it on Saturday morning decided not to come. So I'm thinking there was not going to be, you know, much there. And it was a rainy day. I didn't see protesters, but it got canceled so early. I started my day roughly at 10:30 a.m. And I think it was before 11 that we learned the event was canceled. Yeah. So it was supposed to be at 1 p.m. So I don't know when, you know, if there were going to be protesters, when they might have, you know, been heading down. But I was prepared to stand in the rain. I had rain pants on, waterproof raincoat. You know, I was just ready to be outside in case.
Does LMP supply those kind of things with the logo and everything? I mean, if not, we probably should. And even though LMP, we're now partner with WITF, so we should think about that.
Yeah. I have a lot of outdoor gear, for running and being outside. So yeah, I wasn't outside that long. There was nothing to call me out as a member of the media. And I did the Facebook Live in the office.
Yeah, I didn't want to suggest that that prayer group was calling for violence, but as you said, they were praying for divine intervention, that God would stop the show on Saturday. And Dan, let's talk about exactly what happened on Saturday. If you can it kind of started with a package that was suspicious that was found, and a canine brought some attention to it.
Yeah, and that's my story today. I've got to try to find out where the investigation stands. But yes, a package was found prompting Lancaster Pride to, not the library, but Lancaster Pride, who was hosting the event, decided better safe than sorry. We are canceling this. It is not worth risking anybody's life. I had a friend who's whose daughter was going to come to this with her children. So, you know, I knew people who were, you know, going to attend it, but, and, you know, we're all working here as well. And there's people downtown. Zen Kai Kon was in town. That's like a, I don't want to say cosplay, but
comic
people dress up. Yeah. It's and there's thousands of people. This is an annual event, so you know, you've got to, you know, be, you know, at some point you've got to be safe. And even Friday night, even Saturday morning ahead of this, you know, everybody was adamant this event is going to go on. So then, you know, it gets canceled, and then, you know, there are bomb threats. My house, the Lancaster Online building, the executive director of the library and the head of Lancaster Pride, forcing us to, you know, to scramble evacuations and closures in downtown. And what I have to say, Scott, is we did not stop reporting the news. We had about a dozen people, a little more than a dozen, in the office, on the ground, had to go somewhere else. I could not be more proud of how everyone pulled together as a team. I know we're with WITF now. You know, you guys weren't in, you know, in on this, but it was seamless. You know, we knew we had to explain what was going on to a huge audience. It was paying attention to us. You know, we have internal metrics to show how, you know, what our readership was, and plenty of people were turning to us to get what was going on. And we're putting out constant updates. As we were getting stuff, we were putting it out. I was trying to contact the commissioners, you know, what do you make, you know, this happen? What is your response to this? Trying to contact the police. You know, what can you tell us about this? We need to get information out. All of my colleagues, everyone, it's a terrible thing to say, because it was not the kind of event that I wanted to be a part of at all, if you understand what I'm saying. But on the other hand, I could not be more proud of how we all did.
Agreed. The coverage was exceptional, and it was a story that made national news, and I'm sure that national news outlets were getting most of their information from LNP. So what did the emails in particular say, leaving the expletives out?
Okay, well, yeah, I've got it right here. It says, "We are the ones that placed bombs at the Lancaster Public Library. We will kill Tiffany," trimming it down a bit, "we will kill Tiffany Shirley." That's the head of Lancaster Pride. "We will kill we place a bomb in her home, the home of Lissa Holland." That's the library executive director. "My home, Starbucks, and Lancaster Online's office. At 1:30, the bombs will detonate. Bring the fire department. We place pipe bombs as well as fuel bombs. Will likely cause a fire spreading to other buildings. Evacuate so no innocents die. You are expletive degenerates, pedophiles, child abusers, or expletive cowards who rather let our children get preyed upon than be called a bigot. Expletive, you degenerates, we will kill you all and purify our land." That is terrifying to have received.
That is more than a bomb threat, too. I mean, just calling it a bomb threat. I mean, I read that in the paper yesterday, and I thought to myself, you know, when we just describe it as a bomb threat, we're kind of, I hate to say it, but we're kind of used to hearing that nowadays because it happens so often. Yeah. That is very graphic, and they come right out and say, "We're going to kill people." Unbelievable. So responses, we only have about 2 minutes left, Dan. What responses did you get from the commissioners?
Basically, like, you know, this should not be tolerated. This is not what we, you know, wanted. And, you know, law enforcement will investigate this, you know, essentially. Mm. Then there was some suggestion by Josh that, you know, perhaps maybe it was somebody, you know, inside or with this word, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were critical of that.
He suggested there was a possibility it was someone trying to create outrage.
whoever did it should be prosecuted. But, you know, we don't know at this point. Hopefully police will be police. Whoever's brought in will be able to tell us. I got an email or not an email, a text from somebody later in the day questioning something the library did. And then it was essentially suggesting like this was, you know, false flag type stuff. And I'm like, you know what I got to do tonight? I got to plan to get the hell out of my house because I'm not staying over.
Yeah.
This is not false flag stuff.
I sit here and I shake my head that's what we've come to, that there can't be a difference of opinion without the threat of violence nowadays. Yeah. And well, Dan, we're almost out of time. I want to thank you very much for coming on. And, you know, just providing so much information. I'm sure, as you said, you don't want to be part of the story, but are you getting any updates from the police or anything?
I've been in touch with the police chief this morning. I said, look, I got to get something out. He said, I will get you information. I've talked to some other people, so I'll do what I can. Hey, if I can plug, I know you just had a fun drive, but all we want to do is get information that the community needs. So think about supporting WITF and think about subscribing to Lancaster Online.
I agree.
Our only agenda is getting information that people need out. We don't have sides.
Dan Neefen, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks.